The rising number of opioid overdoses in Maryland caused Governor Larry Hogan to declare a state of emergency in 2015. And since then, the epidemic has only grown in scale. More than 1,800 Marylanders died last year from opioid overdose, up 70% from the year before. Medicaid recipients make up a significant portion of the people who are dealing with this addiction. And in the first installment of our new series on Pills and Needles, Maryland's Opioid Crisis, WIPR's Rachel Bay has a look at the role that the state and federally funded health program plays in curbing the crisis.
64-year-old Johnny Davis has been treating his heroin addiction at the Bon Secours New Hope Treatment Center in West Baltimore for nearly 20 years.
When I came in, didn't have no insurance. And if I wasn't here, I could imagine where my life would have turned. Because I was known for drugs, selling drugs.
With no insurance and no job, Davis paid $8 a week for the methadone program. He says the clinic later helped him get health coverage through Medicaid. For the last 18 years or so, his treatment has been covered in full. Heather Young, a nurse practitioner at Bon Secours' three substance abuse treatment programs in Baltimore, estimates that about 70% of her roughly 700 patients receive medical assistance.
Those are the easy patients. Once they're on, we know we're not going to every month have an issue with billing, or this month the insurance company allows it and next month they don't.
Medicaid also covers the cost of naloxone, the drug used to reverse an overdose. Young says in April, 12 of her patients used their naloxone kits to help someone who OD'd.
All 12 of those, luckily, thank goodness, have medical assistance. So all that requires me is to send a refill to the pharmacy that they use, and I know that they can go get that kit hassle-free, not having to pay some astronomical copay.
Medicaid covers roughly 20% of Maryland residents. But Medicaid patients make up a larger portion of the Marylanders grappling with addiction.
We know that one in three people who are receiving treatment for addiction are on Medicaid.
Baltimore Health Commissioner Lena Wen spoke about Maryland's opioid epidemic last month at a town hall meeting. State data show that of the nearly 1,100 people who died from opioid overdoses in 2015, about 65% were on Medicaid at some point since the beginning of 2011. The state doesn't yet know how many Medicaid recipients were among last year's overdose victims. Colleen Berry at the Johns Hopkins University Center for Mental Health and Addiction Policy Research says it's not entirely surprising that opioid addiction affects the state's Medicaid population at such a high rate.
So it's always been the case that substance use disorder rates are higher among lower income individuals. All of the factors that make life harder for folks on the sort of lowest rung are predisposing factors for addiction.
The recent rise in opioid addiction rates is unique because it's been driven in large part by an increase in prescriptions. It's not just people at lower income levels who are getting hooked on the drugs. But income does affect how people consume the drug and whether someone is likely to die from an overdose. Heroin is a lot cheaper than prescription pills and more dangerous.
Some of the most deadly forms of opiates that are most likely, especially in the state of Maryland, to result in overdose death, you come into contact in a street context.
Two-thirds of last year's opioid-related deaths involved heroin. But Maryland's Medicaid director Shannon McMahon says most heroin users didn't start out that way.
3 out of 4 people who become addicted to heroin start with opioids.
So the state's Medicaid program is taking steps to reduce the number of patients who get prescriptions for opioids, with the hope that it will cut down on the number of heroin users.
In lieu of pain medication, making sure that folks are getting physical therapy for their back pain, their neck pain, etc.
She says the state is encouraging doctors to recommend opioid alternatives like Advil and teaching patients to refuse opioids if they don't think they need them. And Medicaid is using the influence of its purse strings to improve treatment for those who are addicted. For example, last month the state began unbundling counseling and medication-assisted treatment, where patients take regular doses of drugs like methadone or buprenorphine, so that providers could bill Medicaid separately for both.
It creates an incentive for their provider to get them meaningfully connected to those, that behavioral health, that cognitive therapy, along with the medication. So all of the research suggests that those two things together are the secret sauce. And the more that that happens, the less relapses we'll see.
McMahon says this also tells Medicaid which providers are offering which services. The next step is creating a system that rewards addiction treatment providers for positive results.
We're in the middle of this opioid crisis. We know people are really and truly seeking this care. We've created the environment from a financial perspective, from a service perspective. How can we get providers to do more and, you know, do more for people so that they're not having those relapses?
But that evidence-based approach is still a ways off. In the meantime, any cuts to Maryland's Medicaid funding from the federal government would affect how the state covers addiction treatment. Barry from Johns Hopkins says the per capita approach to Medicaid funding that Congress is considering would be devastating to the state's ability to combat the opioid epidemic.
The establishment of addiction treatment as an essential health benefit through the Medicaid program is a critical way that we are combating the epidemic. If people don't have access to insurance, how can we get them into effective treatment?
The Affordable Care Act also established what Barry calls creative approaches to Medicaid funding. One example allows Medicaid, in a small number of circumstances, to cover services that wouldn't normally be covered, things like peer counseling and case management, which have been shown to help with addiction treatment.
That's a model that has existed for years in the healthcare sector, and it's being financed now for the first time under the Affordable Care Act.
She says the program, called Health Homes, is in a sort of pilot status in Maryland, but she would love to see it expanded. It would be cut under the proposal currently before the Senate. I'm Rachel Bay for 88.1 WYPR.